Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Generation Y ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. Listen to a bold new take on George Orwell's classic 1984 on Audible, starring an epic cast with Andrew Garfield, Cynthia Erivo, and Andrew Scott, and featuring Tom Hardy as Big Brother. Plus, a haunting original score by Matthew Bellamy and Elon Ashkari that takes this thrilling production to the next level. Experience an immersive listening experience like nothing you've heard before. This chilling tale of constant surveillance, thought police, and rebellion is more relevant now than ever. Big Brother is watching and listening. Hear why those who control the past control the future. Listen to George Orwell's 1984 on Audible now. Go to audible.com/bigbrother.
We're brought to you by Audible. Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, or doing your chores. I usually listen to Audible when I'm on a plane because it's the best way to keep my mind off the boredom and claustrophobia of being in a plane. I'm currently listening to The Long Walk. It was one of Stephen King's first books that he wrote under Richard Bachman. It's an incredible story about teens who are volunteered to go on a long walk. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. Right now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500. That's audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500.
This episode is brought to you by June's Journey. Unleash your inner sleuth and step into the glamorous 1920s. Uncover scandalous family secrets and solve the mysterious murder of June Parker's sister. With dazzling hidden object scenes and riveting storylines in each chapter, June's Journey invites you to a thrilling era of mystery and romance. And now, June needs your help, detective. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. Your adventure awaits.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
How you doing tonight, Justin?
I'm doing great, Aaron. Throwing the audience off, man.
You got to switch things up now and again.
I know.
I mean, how many murder cases have we covered? How many deaths?
Yeah.
It's about time we discuss other things, I suppose.
What are we going to talk about tonight, Aaron?
Sometimes a case comes along that illustrates, perhaps, a problem in our culture. The case we're going to talk about is Sandra Bland.
Yeah.
But it goes beyond Sandra because it really has to do with the interplay between police officers, law enforcement, and the public. I do want to say up front before we get started that they're not all the same. It doesn't mean that you can take 1,000 police officers and they're all going to do the same thing. They're not. But there is this trend where there are people on one side who are either law enforcement or support them, and on the other side are people that feel like they're being disrespected and abused by law enforcement. So that's our conversation.
Sandra Bland, if you don't know, she was a African-American lady who had recently moved from, I think it was Illinois, down to Texas for a job. So she has uprooted her entire life, pretty much moved to Texas, and she's getting all her stuff down there. A police officer pulls up behind her and is tailgating her. And I have to say that this is kind of a pet peeve of mine. I don't like people that follow me at an unsafe distance. I feel like they're putting my life in danger when they do that. But, you know, I don't get to arrest them for it. But this police officer is tailgating her. She actually believes that he's trying to pass her, and she's in the way. So she gets over to get out of his way. When she does this, she fails to use her blinker, her turn signal. She is promptly pulled over, and she's not happy about this. She's in a stressed situation. She just got pulled over for what she perceived as being courteous to a police officer. So she's not exactly friendly with him at the start of the traffic stop, but she's just kind of being short. She's not being belligerent, or as people put it, combative, which I'm sorry, I don't like that word combative at all. She's just being short and not saying much to him.
Well, let's talk about this real quick, because put yourself in her shoes or behind her wheel, because she feels like he needs to get past, so she just gets over. She felt like she started off by doing him a favor, and he decided to be a jerk about it. Yeah. Isn't that probably what's going on here?
Yeah, I wasn't going to say jerk, but...
No. I just want to lay this out for people, because this doesn't happen to everybody.
No.
Okay, so it's a unique situation possibly, or maybe it's not unique, but either way, this is probably what's happening here. She tried to do him a favor or pay respect by saying, you have the right of way, you're law enforcement, that's fine, I'll get over. And then he doesn't have to, but he decides to pull her over because she didn't use her signal.
Yeah.
So at this point now she's like, great, he wants to be a pain in my ass.
Mm-hmm.
She's not allowed to feel that way, apparently. Isn't that where we're going with this?
Well, yeah. The sad part about it is he is actually writing her up a warning. He's not even writing her up an actual ticket. I've watched all the videos, the 50-minute extended version video. Essentially, it's at the very end of the traffic stop where all he has to do is hand her the warning. But instead, he starts questioning her. And he says, you look really agitated. And she's like, I'm just waiting on you. Just give me the ticket. And he's like, well, why are you agitated? He asks. And I'm sorry, but when somebody's agitated, if somebody's upset and you ask them what's the problem, you're probably the problem. And they're going to tell you. And so she actually says, I was moving over for you and you've pulled me over and now you're giving me a ticket, dude. What do you think?
Yeah, on the whole issue of if someone's agitated and you start poking at them that way, is he even married? Because this is what married men know this by now. You don't do that.
You just move along.
Yeah, just let it go. You did your part. Let her do hers. Just move on.
It's called de-escalation.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have to do is just say, sorry to trouble you. I'm giving you a warning for not using your turn signal. Here you go. And move along. The traffic stop could have ended at this point. He'd already run her plates. He'd already done everything. There's no more to this traffic stop. Instead, the next thing out of his mouth is, would you mind putting out your cigarette? Now, a lot of people who side, I don't even want to split it up this way, but a lot of people that are very pro-law enforcement, they're like, just do what the cop says. He says, would you mind putting out your cigarette? She says, I'm in my car. I don't have to put out my cigarette. And then he says, you can step out of the car now. He doesn't say, please step out of the car. He doesn't say, I need you to step out of the car. He says, you can step out of the car now. She says, no, I don't. And at this point, she literally is in all of her full rights of denying the cigarette and denying stepping out of her car, because she hasn't been ordered yet. But because she has now denied the officer's authority, he flips out and he starts demanding that she steps out of the car. And she's like, I don't want to step out of the car. I don't have to step out of the car. She keeps saying, why do I have to get out of the car? And he never answers her. He just says, I'm giving you an order to get out of the car. She says, I'm not under arrest. And he says, yes, you are under arrest. So technically, Aaron, at this point, if an officer tells you you're under arrest, you do have to comply with him. And if he's giving you an order, you have to comply.
Right. He's in charge at this point.
Yeah.
But it's at his discretion. So he decides at this point that she is under arrest.
I love that word, discretion.
Right. Because as you say, he didn't have to do this.
No.
But he's going this route. So he's going through with it.
He asked her to put out her cigarette. She said no. And now he's placing her under arrest. But Sandra, she's actually smart. She knows that she's not being arrested for not putting out her cigarette, which a lot of people misinterpret this. She's being arrested for not using a turn signal. And guess what, folks? The police, they can arrest you for the most minor traffic crime, minor crime you could ever imagine.
Minor offense.
The most minor offense. This is my take on it, Aaron, is you have a child. You have two children. There's a level of discipline. So if your kid doesn't eat their vegetables, or if your kid, I don't know, throws a brick through the window, there's level of discipline there. You could slam your kid down on the floor and scream at him, and you have the authority to do that. But why would you do that for not eating your vegetables?
That's, well, it happens. I think the other thing that happens is people have bad days. Like, the real question is, if you look at it, is the police officer doing this all the time? We don't know. I can't sit here and say that this is his MO, that he does this all the time, because I don't know him. Mm-hmm. I do feel when you are representing, this is his career. Yeah. When you're representing the police department and you're supposed to serve and protect, that even if it's painful for you, even if it's not your gut instinct, you have a responsibility. Now, it doesn't mean you can't do your job, but there should be, I guess you should say, training or knowledge to help you out. So if someone's not complying, what's the issue here? If she didn't use her signal, either write her a ticket or write the warning and give it to her. If you're going to escalate it instead of de-escalate it, this is where, you know, we can talk about the legality of it, but we should also talk about what should be, because I don't know that people are very comfortable with this idea that just because they can do things to you that they should do them.
Well, and this is it. I mean, in a nutshell, a police officer can pull you over for the most minor traffic offense. They can ask you to step out of the car and arrest you. And they don't even have to tell you why. But who in their right mind actually thinks that if a cop pulls you over for no apparent reason, doesn't give you any information about the detainment or the arrest, and proceeds to arrest you, you could get somebody to comply much easier by simply talking to them. You can de-escalate the situation by simply explaining to them. He never once tells her why he's arresting her. He opens up her door. And at this point, she's belligerent. She's screaming at him. And maybe she should have been nicer. Yeah, maybe she should have not had an attitude with him. Here we are. He asked her to put out a cigarette. She said no. What if he had prevented her from going to church? What if he had prevented her from buying a gun or going to a voting booth? What if he'd prevented her or denied her rights of something like that? Would we be having this discussion? Do we think a cigarette is any less important? Our freedoms are not any less important there? She doesn't want to put out her cigarette. I hate cigarettes and I hate tailgaters. So I'm not on either one of their sides, really.
Freedom.
Yeah, I'm on freedom's side here. He now is pulled out his taser on her and he's threatening to light her up. A taser is a transitional device from no force to a gun to deadly force. And conveniently enough, every time she's asked, why are you doing this? He starts talking into his walkie-talkie instead of answering her. It's like he's intentionally avoiding answering her questions. She finally does actually comply and gets out of the car, and she's recording him with her phone. And he says, put your phone down. It's actually her right to record, you know, whatever. she's wearing a maxi dress. It's not like she's wearing something with a lot of pockets in it, so we might have to think that there's a weapon on her. The crime committed is a traffic violation, failure to use a blinker. At this point, all he's really doing is arresting her for that. And anything at this point is collecting evidence to prove that she failed to use her blinker. So he takes her out of the car. She's somewhat compliant, but she's still mouthing off to him. And he's putting handcuffs on her. And he says, stand right here. And still at this point, he has not told her what she's under arrest for. She stands right there. And you can watch him. He grabs her arms and he steps towards the car and he drags her. And when she's moved, he says, I told you to stand right there. And I'm like, you're dragging her along with you, man. You're giving her commands that she cannot even obey or comply with. When I really break down the stop, it pisses me off because he's giving her contradictory messages here. And then they go off camera and you hear her say, you're breaking my wrist. Next thing you know, she's on her face because he's slammed her down on the concrete.
And she's resisting.
She's considered resisting.
Right.
So, Aaron, we watch MMA, you know, not to turn this into our MMA podcast, but what happens when you are being hit in the face? Or what happens when somebody's twisting or hyperextending your arm? What do you do when you're being attacked?
Well, I would imagine if it hurts, you're not going to just take it. You will try to resist so that in her case, if she did feel like her wrist was going to break or get injured, she was probably trying to put her arm in a position where it wouldn't do so.
Or pull away.
Pull away. Yeah, but when you're given contradictory commands, to me it says that the officer has lost control of himself. And it also says that he has no respect for her. Now, people break the law. You could say she broke the law, but really he's the officer. He's in the position of authority, and I believe that should carry responsibility with it. And in this case, he's not exercising that. And I could see where she would be pretty upset. And it's cases like this where you can say, oh, but he can do that. He's got the authority to do so. But you're creating a culture that is anti-law enforcement, which I believe, and I think this bears out, that you have more people who are willing to break the law and have less respect for authority because respect is earned. And I know for a fact there are police officers out there that do behave responsible and exercise their authority with proper discretion. I believe that there are areas in this country that do not see that most of the time. And we're seeing this. People are getting riled up because they see it as an us against them thing. And they don't see it as something that's just started. They feel this is something that's been going on for a long, long time.
It is. And, you know, and going back to what just happened is he's twisting her wrist. And we have this thing called self-preservation. It's built into us. It's instinctual. It's not something that we can control. And I'm sure her self-preservation of, I don't want my arm broken, kicked in, and she pulled away. She resisted because she was being put in pain. And that's what they do to make you comply. But as soon as you resist, that's used against you as resisting arrest. And I'm not cool with that, where my natural instinct to pull away is considered against the law. I just have a problem. If I'm punching a cop in the face, if I'm attacking the cop, if I'm doing that, but to me, pulling away is more of a passive resistance. It's not a active resistance.
She didn't jump in the car and try to drive away.
No, no. It's said that she kicked him and scratched him. And he says this happens when they're on the sidewalk. He doesn't say it happens when they're in the car. And it's funny because I thought she kicked him when he was trying to drag her out of the car. But he doesn't say that in his report. He says it happens on the sidewalk. And I'm like, well, one, her hands are handcuffed behind her back. So she really scraped you. Okay. And then she kicked you with her hands handcuffed behind her back. Sorry, she couldn't kick you real hard then. She's pretty much half disabled at this point. Now, he slams her down on the ground. And another officer, female officer, shows up. And they ridicule her in a very unprofessional manner, which police protocol is you don't do that. But, you know, hey, it's their freedom of speech, right? So they can do whatever they want. And then they proceed to search her car. They can just do this. And again, I'm like, wow, our laws dictate that if you're arrested for even the most minor crime, the cop can actually try to gather evidence from your vehicle to prove the crime committed.
Or to use against you.
To use against you. Right. So what evidence are they searching for in her car to prove that she used an improper blinker?
Or didn't use her blinker.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, what evidence are they collecting? I've asked, and just so everyone knows, I spoke to 5 different police officers, 2 different lawyers about this case before I spoke on it. So I'm not just talking out my butt right now. I really wanted to know what the laws were and what police procedure and protocol were. Funny enough, 3 of the 5 police officers who are ex-active duty said, yeah, that cop kind of went overboard. 2 of them that are currently serving were like, no, he's totally in the right because he has the law on his side. Just sort of interesting. But yeah, so they search her car to make sure, you know, to collect evidence about the improper lane change.
Maybe they were trying to help her and they were checking to see if her signal worked.
Yeah, if the equipment was malfunctioning.
Right, because then they could say, oh, we're so sorry, we didn't realize. Now we can write you a ticket because your blinker isn't working.
Now she's arrested for resisting arrest, which when you say, well, what am I being arrested for? They say, well, you're being arrested for resisting arrest. Well, what was the initial crime? Well, it doesn't matter. You're now being charged with resisting arrest for an arrest that probably shouldn't have happened in the first place. But, you know, it happens.
But they can make you resist arrest.
Yes, by giving you contradictory commands and inflicting pain on you to the point where you pull away.
And taking you down.
So now they've impounded her car. Her car is impounded. That's however many hundreds of dollars a day. And they've arrested her and they've given her a $5,000 bond. This is her second day, I think, in Texas. She's starting a new job and she has a $5,000 bond for assaulting a police officer. And her life is destroyed.
Does she have the job anymore, right? I mean, it's all looking pretty grim.
Yeah.
It doesn't look very good at all.
During the in-processing to the jail, she actually tells 2 different jailers and writes on 2 different forms that she's been suicidal in the past. She's not put on any kind of suicide watch. And they leave a huge trash can with a big old plastic bag on it for her in her cell. I don't know. I can't comment on whether or not she was murdered or killed herself. I truly don't know. I would say that it's a possibility, just like in our other case with, you know, I mean, it's just a possibility. But what's the point of asking somebody if they're suicidal if they tell you yes and you don't put them on suicide watch?
You take no steps to protect them from themselves.
I mean, what's the point of filling out the form if you're not going to do anything with the form? All the information she gave them, if she did truly kill herself, I'm sorry, they're negligent for her death. And when her family sues them, which they are, and I hope they sue about the improper stop and arrest also, but according to the law, essentially they're in the right. But it doesn't mean what they did was right or what this officer did was right. But enough on that. When other police officers or law enforcement folks watch this video, they don't see anything wrong with it, Aaron.
Well, some believe there's a culture. If you look at it from their side, there's an us against them on their side because I imagine it's not always easy for them.
Couldn't imagine being a cop. It's a thankless job and they get paid nothing.
Yeah, they don't earn enough to deal with some of the stuff they have to deal with. And unfortunately, I think since it kind of bleeds over, it's almost like they want to fold back and they want to defend each other because they're brothers. I mean, say what you will. You could bash on the police, but it's really a fraternity. And these guys, they go to the front lines together. On that end, you can see why they would protect their own. They would defend each other.
I absolutely understand it. There's cultures in any line of work. I have a lot of friends and family that work in the food service, wait on tables. Bunch of people come in and don't tip or are really rude, and the waitress is scowling or complaining about it to her fellow waitress. Those people are jerks. You know, it's us against them. I'm in IT. You think that when I'm sitting next to my computer tech friend and somebody calls in and says, I can't get logged into my computer, you don't think they don't put them on mute and we say, you're an idiot, you don't know how to use your computer? We do. It's us who know how to use this computer against you who has no clue. And that's just the culture of it. There wouldn't be, you know, the IT crowd or that skit on Saturday Night Live if there wasn't an IT culture. There absolutely is an IT culture, and most IT people are arrogant. I luckily don't think I am one of them. And I'm sure most cops don't think they're the bad one. I don't know how much more clear culture can be. I know that when I'm out of the IT culture and I see some technician yelling at some old lady because she doesn't know how to use her computer, I'm put off by it now. I'm like, why? Just help her. You're getting paid to help her. Do your job. And when I see a cop or police officer do a traffic stop the way this man did, I just think, just write her a ticket. And if you don't like her attitude, instead of giving her a warning, give her a real ticket. Oh, maybe you could find a couple more reasons to give her some more tickets. Write her up for everything. Make her shut up with a bunch of tickets that, you know, you could write instead of arresting her. That's the cop culture there, that I can watch this same traffic stop and be horrified by it. But people that are pro law enforcement will look at it and say, he followed the law and everything's fine. She should have complied. For all counts and purposes, she actually did comply, and it was just her attitude that wasn't complying with the officer.
You have people that are angry at the police. You have law enforcement and their supporters who are angry at people who they feel abuse the police and don't respect the police. And as someone who is not a police officer, and I'm certainly not someone who goes to protests, I look at it a completely different way, which is I see these two cultures that are clashing. I mean, this may sound like I'm becoming a hippie, but I really think that we would be better as a society if we just took a few extra steps. You know, if we would actually try to think about, empathize with other people who really do have a history of being abused. We have to take this into account. You can't just throw it out and say, well, it's 2015, get over it. Guess what? People don't forget. It gets passed down. Stuff happens to them. It does not go away until we take steps. So when you, and I know it's not always going to be easy. I have my bad days, but is it so difficult to admit you're wrong? Or like Justin said, if you're really that angry, write the ticket, but don't take it out on the person because you're spreading a disrespect there. You're handling people a certain way that says they're not even a person to you. You don't respect that person. That's not getting you anywhere. Yeah, you can do it, but now you're creating unrest. People are upset. I think they would be, I'm going to go out on a limb here, but I really believe that people would give you the benefit of the doubt if you had a history of doing the right thing. Now, it's been pointed out that he had a stop before this that went fine. But what does that say? What made him change? Something occurred. You could say, what is it about her that he just didn't like?
It was the attitude.
Yeah, well, again, just like he could have a bad day, she could have a bad day. But like Justin already pointed out, what she did, I don't think warranted his escalation. Again, I think it's important that we have some empathy for people, especially as she filled out our form. She's been suicidal. This isn't what we do with people. We should treat them with more respect.
We're brought to you by ZipRecruiter. So the other day, Aaron and I were trying to get concert tickets to a show we really wanted to see. And I waited before I bought my ticket. And guess what? I missed my chance. And that's why you have to act quickly or somebody else will get it instead. It's like hiring for your business. If you want to find the most talented people for your roles, You have to scoop them up before the competition does. So that's why the best way to do that is ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. And immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Take a moment to get a word from our sponsor, Field of Greens. I like eating healthy, and I've tried a lot of different supplements. I've tried juicing, and I've spent a lot of money and wasted a lot of time. And let me tell you, honestly, none of those things ever made me feel better. With Field of Greens, it's a superfood that gives you nutrition the way nature intended. It's packed full of organic fruits and vegetables, not extracts. And when you're getting those nutrients, you can sleep better, notice things like your hair and your nails feel stronger, helps with digestion. You just feel better overall. My favorite flavor is the strawberry lemonade. I have a feeling you're going to love this product the way I do. But if for some reason you don't like it, they give you a 100% money-back guarantee. Plus, you can get 15% off your first order and free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code GenY. Promo code GenY at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com. Go check it out.
I believe you have an example, Justin, of someone who is law enforcement and sets the bar really high.
Yeah, I watch a lot of videos on law enforcement, and I do engage law enforcement a lot. I will walk up to police officers and just start up casual conversations with them. I don't have a complete disrespect for law enforcement in any shape or form. I really try to give them the benefit of the doubt because I know they have a tough job, way tougher than my job, and I probably get paid twice as much as any police officer out there. And I complain about my job. What do I have to complain about? But I love this video, and it's not because the cop's getting chewed out. It's because the cop's awesome, and I see a good cop, and that's why I love it. And it's a Maine police officer pulls over a man in a, it's like an Isuzu Trooper or a SUV or something. As the police officer walks up to the man's window, the police officer has his notepad and, you know, his ticket notepad or whatever in his hand. And as he walks up, the driver of the vehicle reaches out and snatches the notepad out of the officer's hand. That's assault. He literally just assaulted the police officer. And the guy is just screaming. And he's like, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know how fast I was going, blah, 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 blah. He just goes off on the officer. And the officer stands there and waits for the guy to take a breath, literally, in between cussing the officer out. This is right off the bat. This man is belligerent, combative, whatever colorful word you want to use. And this officer writes out the ticket in a very calm voice. He says, here is your summons. Here is your fine. Here's what you need to do with your ticket. And the man's like, fine, just give me the ticket. He hands him the ticket, and the amount is for like $230 or something. It's like a really pricey ticket. And I was kind of like, wow, that's a pricey ticket for speeding. The man sees the price, freaks out, tears the ticket up, and throws the shredded ticket in the officer's face. And the officer stands there, cool as a Hindu cow. Says, sir, if you don't pick up the paper on the ground, I'm going to cite you for littering. And the guy at this point flings his door open, almost hitting the police officer. But the police officer just kind of steps back, gets out of the way, while the guy jumps out of the car aggressively. Like, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, is he going to attack the cop? Like, I actually thought he was. I actually expected the cop to defend himself at this
draw point. His weapon even.
Yeah. But instead, the man gets out and he shamelessly picks up his garbage gets back in the car, and the officer says, "Hold on, you missed a piece." Now, the cop's kind of being a jerk, but the cop's in control. He hasn't lost control. The guy gets back out, gets the other piece of paper, gets back in, screams at the cop for another 45 seconds. And the cop says, "Have a nice day." And the guy peels out. Now, this cop could have, right off the bat, arrested him for assaulting a police officer in the first 5 seconds of their interaction. He could have drawn his weapon and fired on the man when he jumped out of his vehicle, because I've seen police videos where police have done this when somebody jumps out of their vehicle too quick. This officer used discretion, and he's awesome. I want to meet this guy, give him a handshake, buy him a beer, I don't care what. The guy's awesome. It's not fair to him to be treated that way by this man in this SUV. I totally do not agree with the man in the SUV's actions at all. I think he's a despicable person. He was flexing his First Amendment right, which was he can say whatever he wants. The officer stood there, and it almost looked like the officer was laughing about it because it was just so over the top and crazy.
And well, that's one of the reasons you laugh on the podcast sometimes, is something so preposterous happens, you can't help but laugh. So,
and I don't think that people should be rude or disrespectful to police officers. I absolutely think you need to be respectful to police officers, and I absolutely think police officers need to be respectful, authoritative and assertive, but respectful to us. You know, I hate the things like, well, if you didn't break the law, you wouldn't be slammed on the ground. It's like, okay, well, she didn't use her blinker. I hate the, you know, well, if you just complied, or if you just did as you're told, if you just did this, then this wouldn't have happened. And you're essentially telling us to modify our behavior so we're not victimized. I think we covered that on another episode. I think it was called Rape Culture, where we tell women to modify the way they dress to not be victimized. I'm not down with that. I don't like that. We need to tell the people that are doing the attacking, this isn't right.
And we'll hold you responsible.
And we'll hold you responsible. I don't know. I hate to make that comparison, but if you're pretty much an average Joe person and all you've done is fail to use a blinker, I don't see how that goes from a warning to getting slammed on a sidewalk. I don't see how that goes from there to there without a police officer using de-escalation. Now, all that said, when you watch the video, you hear the officer call back into the station and explain the stop to his patrol sergeant or whoever's in charge. And he tells the patrol sergeant, "I didn't tell her she was under arrest." He tells the patrol sergeant, "I was asking her to step out of the car to sign her ticket. And I was going to tell her, I was trying to explain to her why she was getting a ticket and why she was getting arrested, but she just wouldn't let me talk. She just said this and that." No, she asks, I think, 20 times, "Why are you doing this?" And he never once answers her. He definitely says, "You're under arrest, and that's why the things I'm telling you are legal, you know, whatever, lawful command, because you're under arrest." But what he tells his dispatch sergeant is a completely different story. And now that officer from the Sandra Bland stop is on administrative leave for not following police protocol. Now, you could say, well, it's just politics because this thing got so much attention that we had to do something with them. But if protocol's de-escalation, if protocol is not being as aggressive or whatever, then that's protocol. And he's being treated the way he should, which is he didn't follow his police training. And then he literally lies about it. And we're supposed to just accept that he's in the right because he followed the law.
The other possibility, and this is the scary one, is that he's only on administrative leave because of politics. Yeah. And because there is some outrage over this. And if that's the truth, then that means if people weren't getting angrier, which seems to be worse every year, then he would have not had any trouble. And I'm not trying to say that they need to can this guy, but again, this is the your action and then a reaction. And if you keep pushing on people like this, when it doesn't seem like it's necessary, you're going to create this unrest where people are going to bash on you. There will be a lot less respect out there. And I can't imagine this getting any better. Why haven't we tried the other thing? Why haven't we tried being more polite? Like you said, you know, like this example you gave, the officer fights back, does so civilly. Mm-hmm. You could say he's being very sarcastic in a way, but he doesn't lose control. And that's, we wish they were all like that.
Yeah.
Because he's still giving that guy his respect by not just manhandling him and tossing him to the ground.
And if he would have, I don't want to see a cop drag somebody out of their car, but this guy literally assaulted the police officer in the first 5 seconds of the stop. And there it was. The cop just stood there and let the man talk and yell and be belligerent. And I'm totally not on that man's side. I think that guy was a despicable person, and that cop did not deserve the tongue lashing or whatever he got from this man. But that officer is awesome. And I know that there's a lot of those kind of cops out there. I love them. I love you guys. You're fighting the good fight. But know that half the public looks at the Eric Gardner video or the Sandra Bland video and they're horrified. They don't know what's happening. They don't understand why this person is being tackled by five people or drug out of their car for such a minor infraction. We just don't get it.
I get the bad feelings about this because, again, it's a respect issue when the strength and the power exercised by officers in these situations, it feels like too much. And people will say, is it because I'm black? Or whatever other race someone might be, or gender, or anything. It could be
any location, whatever.
Right. There's always an angle here that people are afraid that they're being judged or mistreated for. It kind of goes back to what we said at the beginning. When you're treating someone like they're beneath you, and that's how you want to start with them, what are the chances that it's going to go well from there for you?
Yeah.
What kind of result do you want? If you want to get angry with people and you want to mistreat them, then I guess that's how it's going to go. But the point of all this is, I think, is that Justin and I feel like we're in the middle, and maybe we're lucky in some ways, you know, because of that. Now, I know it gets us attacked from both sides usually, but we really don't. I know I don't identify myself as, you know, law enforcement can do no wrong, or they're evil. You know, they're like our overlords. I don't look at it that way. I try to be independent and objective. And I've had officers that are really polite, and I've had an officer enter the home and treat me like I was an idiot. Yeah. And that he was just going to walk wherever he wanted to walk and say whatever he wanted to say to me. So when it comes down to it, you can go through our past episodes. We've spoken on different scenarios where people feel like they got the short end of the stick. I think we really try to look at it objectively, like who made the mistake here? Who had the power to not let this turn into a mess? And we covered that with Trayvon Martin. We covered it with Michael Brown. Some of the other cases we haven't really covered, Eric Gardner. Really, when it comes down to it, we try to look and see who had the power to defuse the situation. Who showed up to start a fight that day?
Yeah.
And I know you can say, well, you know, Eric wasn't supposed to be there doing what he was doing. Well, but last I checked, he wasn't killing anybody.
No.
Trust me, if he had stabbed or started beating on somebody and law enforcement showed up and tackled him, thank you.
Somebody's really screwing up. People are actually generally okay with police brutality if somebody's really doing something horribly wrong. And that's the sad part, is you shouldn't be okay with it ever. But most of the general public is like, well, he was killing babies, or he was, you know, stabbing people actively, so the cops shot him. Well, okay. Well, they had to stop him. And people are okay with that. But when somebody's doing something like accused of selling loose cigarettes or not using a turn signal, there's no reason for this to go to what it does, regardless of whether it's lawful procedure or not. But I'll say right now, I've probably been anti-cop my entire life. And in the last 10 years, I've become very pro-cop. And I know people might be surprised by this, like, well, Justin, we hear you slam on law enforcement all the time. No, I've never been more pro-cop in my life. All my life, I've had people. One night, I had some guy break into my car, like a homeless guy. Breaks into my car. He shoots up heroin in my car and leaves his dirty needles all over my car. And I'm parked at a bar, and the bar owner calls the police to report that the homeless guy that's breaking into cars and shooting up heroin is back. The cops go to my car. They see the broken window. They see the heroin, used heroin needles all over my car. They call me over the PA, or they call whose car is this license plate. I hear it. I go outside and I'm like, oh my gosh, my car has been broken into. The police officers start arresting me for drug paraphernalia. Even though I'm not there shooting up heroin, I'm inside the bar. And they've been told that a homeless person just broke into this guy's car and shot up heroin. They're arresting me for the dirty needles in the car. Now, the bar owner and the other co-owners of the bar came out and instructed the police officers to let me go. So I wasn't arrested that night. That's nutty for, you know, that to happen. Another time I got I made an illegal left turn in Vegas. The cop mismarked the wrong district. So I paid my fine and it went to the wrong district. My check was returned and I got a bench warrant out in the other district that the cop did not mark on the ticket. I went to Vegas and I lost $2,000 and I didn't even gamble. Here I am where I live. The police officers are awesome. I've interacted with them. If I've ever called them because I'm in need, they've come right away. I'm like, you guys are cool. I got pulled over by one. He wasn't even pulling me over for a traffic violation. He was pulling me over to inform me that they're searching the neighborhood for like a kid that ran away. And I'm like, that's awesome. Like, I'll let you know if I see a kid wearing those clothes because he's obviously in trouble and I'll help you out. That's what I expect. Sadly, that's not what we get all the time.
So I think there has to be some sort of change in mindset. I know we can't go through and change all the rules. Because we will get people who will put law enforcement in danger.
Oh, definitely.
So there need to be rules, but it's the discretion part. It's this understanding that you're dealing with different culture, different people, and what's the goal here? I think more cooperation. When I was in college before I graduated, some of the courses I took were management courses. It surprises me, but I don't see what I learned in college being practiced. But what they said was, when you treat people with respect and you discuss things with them, you let them know what your goals are, right? And if they do anything wrong, you try to let them know, here's what's going on, and you handle everything politely and respectfully, that you get people on your side. They tend to start liking you. It's really weird how that works. But when you're nice to people, they tend to be nice back to you. This is what I would like to see more of, especially in these areas where we have people that feel like they've been abused and they've been stepped on and disrespected. And you don't have to say you're giving in anything. What you're doing is you're saying, we don't have to fight all the time because we're going to have troublemakers. We're going to have people breaking the law, but
if you get the people on your side, they're going to be the ones that point out the troublemakers to you, and you're not going to have to go around and figure it out.
Yeah, when they take out their smartphone and they're filming you, they'll be saying, look what this dummy did.
Yeah.
It won't be, oh, look what he's doing now. Look what this cop's doing now. Yeah. They'll be laughing at the guy getting arrested, and they won't be getting angry with you, I think. I just think it's worth a try, and I think it goes for us as well. You have a problem? I got an email today. If you want to discuss something civilly and respectfully, then I'm all about it. And I think a lot of people know this about us, but when you treat us as though you have now become our mortal enemy, and that you have no respect for us and you think we're idiots, it's going to be more difficult to state your case. Also, this is just a little aside, but we've had people say, well, one of you says this. It's possible, I suppose, that you don't know which one of us is who. But if you're still listening, I'm Aaron. I'm the more serious one, typically. Justin's the one that's laughing. Justin's more, you know, he uses a lot more of his emotions. So that's the best way to put it. When I actually get on a mic, I'm pretty monotone. Remember, Aaron's more of the monotone. I play like, you know, the straight guy. Justin's more of the, you don't know what he's going to say next or what tone of voice he's going to use.
I try to monotone it a little bit because people don't like hearing murder or children getting hurt by a happy guy. And it's really hard for me to tone down my happiness while I talk about some of these things. It's not that I'm happy about the murder or the death or the suffering that's happening. It's I'm excited to do this podcast. I'm excited to do this podcast with you, Aaron. And that's what it's about. And that's why I'm happy.
I'm Aaron. He's Justin Evanston for some of you out there in Texas. But I did mix things up at the beginning by asking Justin how he was doing. It gets mentioned all the time that I never ask him how he's doing. They're like, how is he doing? Well, like he just said, it's difficult for him to tone it down. Justin's just naturally happy all the time. I'm usually naturally happy, but when I do a show, I tend to get more serious about it. Rest assured, most of the time, Justin's fine. I think out of the last, I don't know how many episodes, but the only time I've seen him not so much fine is during the Heyman Lee, because he had something sort of rough happen before he came over to my house. So, but typically, Justin's in a pretty good mood, happy to be providing content to all the listeners. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to the Generation Y podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loreau, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.